You can turn to Mark chapter 1. Last week, we looked at Matthew 22, where Jesus Christ was questioned by the lawyer. And the lawyer asked him, you know, what's the great commandment in the word? And Jesus Christ said, the first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is like unto the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. That's a pretty great statement by Jesus Christ. And we kind of looked at, well, we didn't kind of, we looked at the word commandment. And a commandment is something that you're commanded to do. It's not a choice. It's not a menu. It's not something where you can say yes or no. It's a commandment. If you're in the armed services, you know what a commandment is. When the sergeant says, do this, you do it. And when he says, do that, you do it. There's no choice. But God, as loving as he is, has given us free will. So we can choose to love God with all whole heart, mind, and strength, or not. So then we proceeded to look at some of the things about love. And love, the two great examples of love are God and Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, it said, for God gave his only begotten Son, that whoever might believe on him might have everlasting life. So, you know, he gave. And then we saw where Jesus Christ gave in his life. And we saw other things that God has given us. He's given us the gift of Holy Spirit. He's given us eternal life. And so on. So, to love God, number one, you have to make a choice to do it. And one of the ways that we choose to make, we choose in that choice to love God is we make time for him. I was thinking about the first time my father ever took me to a baseball game. It was 1954, I remember it. It was at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. Dodgers were still in Brooklyn. And they were playing the Milwaukee Braves. The Braves weren't in Atlanta yet. They were still in Milwaukee. And they had a rookie right fielder named Hank Aaron. So I got to see him as a rookie. But I'll never forget, as I walked out through the tunnel, and it was a night game, and the field was so green and so beautiful. And my dad went out of his way to just make it a memorable time for me and him. And I remember, you know, times with my dad that he would spend with me and I would spend with him. And, you know, that's what love is about. You want to spend time with people that you love. You know, and God wants to spend time with us. He wants us to remember those times. He wants to bless us. He wants those times to always be special. In Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus Christ, who is really a great example, the great example of taking time with God, his Father. In chapter 1, verse 35, well, you know, we should start in verse 32 because it's the night before. It says that even, which means evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with the devils. This is a Saturday evening. And it was evening because they couldn't do anything until the sun went down because it was the Sabbath. So after the sun set, then these people all came to see Jesus Christ. And the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And verse 35, in the morning, after he did all that, and you think that just took 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. You know, it took a while. And he had been teaching all day that day. So, and he had done some other healings. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You know, he made it a point. He didn't sleep in. He didn't wait for breakfast. He didn't do anything. He got up and got off by himself where he wouldn't be disturbed, where he could just have time with his Father, and he prayed. And then, of course, Simon and they that were with him followed after him. You know, they woke up and they said, "Where is he?" And they went and they found him. Let's go to Matthew 26. You know, after that record, he walked on the water, and many people came to him who were diseased, and as many as touched his garment were made perfectly whole. Well, that's not there. This is Matthew 14 is where we're going to go. 14, verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." That's not right. 14, sorry. Did I say 14?
Yes.
Okay, I was in 15. Here we go. 14, 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." You know, you would say, think it was pronounced victuals, but it's victuals. And if you look in a dictionary, it says victuals. Huh. But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, you know, the disciples, the guys that were with him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. So we don't really know how many people were there, do we? It says 5,000 men, but then also women and children. So you could think whatever you want. A lot of people. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. You know, when it says constrained, that tells us that they didn't want to go. You know, they said, "Well, we want to stay with you." And he said, "No, go to the boat." And they kept saying no, and he kept saying, "No, you got to go. This is what I want you to do." So finally, when he had sent the multitudes away, they went, got in the boat. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So, you know, after that day, he was working hard, healing people and teaching and feeding. Then he sends his disciples away and he goes up into the mountain again by himself to pray. He made time for his Father, special time to be with his Father, to commune with him, to spend time with him. But when the ship now was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, and so on in this year. So after this, he goes and he walks on the water. And then people come to him after the boat goes to shore, and he heals many more. In verse 23, it says, you know, that he was alone, and then they go on the ship, and the fourth watch, and Peter walks out on the water to him, and so on. And verse 33, then they were in the ship and worshiped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. You know, his time with his father alone prepared him to do all kinds of stuff. You know, he was loaded for bear. He was prepared. He was ready. You know, so many times in life, now you can't possibly say, none of us can possibly say that we have a busier life than Jesus Christ. Think about it. At the end of John, what does it say? He did so many things, there would be not enough books to record them all that the world could hold. Something like that, right? He did so much in such a short time. I don't know how he had time to sleep, but he made time for his heavenly Father. He made time to pray. He made time to talk to God and spend time with him. And that allowed him to do the things that he did. Let's go to Matthew 26. The point being that no matter how busy you are, you too can make time for God. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Now this is right when he's getting ready. He knows that the end is near, that he's going to be arrested, that he's going to suffer, because he knew the scriptures. He knew what it said in Isaiah. You know where it says he was unrecognizable as a man, and so on. And so he goes, and he goes to a private or a quiet place, the Garden of Gethsemane, and he tells his disciples to sit and wait for him. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, would be James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. It was an emotional time for Jesus Christ. And then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So he goes to the garden. He finds a quiet place. He has his disciples wait. He takes three others with him. He goes further into the garden. And then he tells those guys to wait. And he goes even further by himself. And he just prays this prayer to God. He says, you know, God, this is not what I want to do, but I will do whatever you want me to do. You know, and sometimes we face that a little bit. We pray to God and God tells us to do something we don't want to do. Well, that's the way it goes. The rewards are far greater that we do what he says than what we want to do. His will is perfect. Ours is not. So he says, you know, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? So he must have been praying there quite a while, because he said, you couldn't sit there for an hour with me. So it wasn't just that one little prayer, but it was an hour of prayer, an hour of communing with God, his Father. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto him, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And it goes on from there. But, you know, what does he do to prepare himself for the greatest challenge of his life? He spends hours in prayer with God his Father alone. Now, he did ask the disciples to pray with him, but they didn't know what the hell they were doing. And, you know, like many of us, they fell asleep. But he didn't. But he was an example to them. Jesus Christ took the time to pray and be with his Father. And, you know, that's how he prepared himself for all the things he did and the things that he had to do in his life. And that's a great example to us. We may not be asked to do the things that he did, but we certainly are asked to stand up for God and his word, aren't we? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Other men of God, similarly, took time with God. We're not going to look at all of them, obviously, because we'd be here for a week. However, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 9, and Moses, when I was gone up, now he's speaking to Israel, and he's speaking of a time previously. He's speaking about a time that happened in Exodus. So he says, when I was gone up into the mount to receive the table of stone, even the tables of the covenant, remember the tables of stone? Said they were written by the finger of God, which the Lord made with you. When I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights, I neither did eat bread nor drink water. You know, Jesus Christ did the same thing, didn't he, at the beginning of his ministry. He spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness by himself, preparing himself, praying to God, spending time with God. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from thence, for thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Woohoo! What a deal. Remember that? The golden calf. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. Moses. Now, you know, you'd think about that and you'd say, well, would that mean that he broke his promise to Abraham? No, because Moses was still a descendant of Abraham, and he could carry out that promise. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the two tables of covenant were in my hands, two hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands, and brake them before your eyes, and fell down before the Lord, as at the first 40 days and 40 nights, I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins, which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Now this is, you know, he's giving him a quick version of what really happened if you go back in Exodus. But he went up again on the mountain another 40 days and another 40 nights. That's a lot of time to pray and be with God and to not eat a lot and to not, you know, whatever he was doing. So, see, I fell down before the Lord, verse 18, as the first 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 19, for I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth with you against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And so on and so forth. Pretty amazing. But God took care of him. And what did Moses do to deal with this crazy situation? He spent time with God. You know, now certainly he was making intercession for Israel, but he was also, you know, spending time with his God, and God was teaching him and showing him what to do and helping him and strengthening him and doing the things that he needed. Amazing. Jesus Christ was a prophet like unto Moses. Think about that. And he was. He spent a lot of time with God. He went out in that wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. He carried the message of what was to come. He spent time with God his Father, just as Moses spent time. Let's go to Daniel. This is a quick one. Daniel chapter 6. This is where he goes into the lion's den. But we're just going to read one verse that gives us insight into Daniel's life. Daniel was a tremendous man of God who had been taken from his home at a very early age, we think maybe 11 or 12 years old, and brought up in the house of, or the court of Nebuchadnezzar, and taught to be a civil servant, we would call it today. And he rose up to the highest ranks because he walked with God. And then a new king takes control, and the other guys that are the civil servants, you know, the upper echelon of the government of Babylon, are jealous. And so they set up Daniel to catch him in breaking a law that they set up that was, you know, a ridiculous law when you think about it. And the penalty was to be thrown into a den of lions. Well, in verse 10, it says, "Now when David knew that the writing was signed, that crazy dopey law that they did, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." And if you read on, it talks about how these guys knew he did this because he did it every day. Every day, three times a day, he went into his house and he faced Jerusalem and he prayed to God. And he faced Jerusalem because why? Because the temple was there. The Holy of Holies was there. And that's what he did. Daniel spent a lot of time with God. And again, you see the things that he did and the revelation that he received. Well, how did he do that? And he spent time with God. He got quiet with God. You know, if you get quiet with God, expect that he'll talk to you. Expect that he'll work in your heart, because that's what he wants to do. Let's go to Galatians. Corinthians, Galatians. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 13. This is Paul after his conversion, of course. He says, "For ye have heard of my conversion in the time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." What did he do? He was not a nice guy. He was opposed to the Christians, the Christian church, the growth of the church, "and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." He was zealous for the traditions. If you know any Jews, and you know any really strict Jews, they're very zealous of their traditions. You know, I remember when I was young and I worked for a department store, we used to go to this place to buy handkerchiefs. And it was owned by these Jewish brothers. And they'd always offer us breakfast. And they were very religious. And we'd say, "Bacon and eggs." And they'd go, We'll get you the eggs, but you can't have any bacon in our office. You know, they're very strict. Very, very strict. Paul was stricter than they were by who knows how much, a lot. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't go and talk to his teachers, the Pharisees that he learned from. He didn't go and find Peter and James and the other apostles. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them, which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So he spent time, again, by himself, getting to know God and figuring it out. That's what he did. That's how he got prepared. And then as he went along, he spent time praying. You can imagine all the time traveling he did. He had a lot of time to be praying. Let's go to Psalms 143. See what David says. David said a lot about a lot of things. 143. And verses 5 and 6. It says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. The word meditate and muse, meditate means to speak to yourself. The word muse means to think about, to, you know, mull over it in your mind. And that's what David did. He got by himself. He thought about God. He thought about his works. He thought about his word. Let's go to Psalm 119. And verses 15 and 16. Now, the word here, meditate, is the word that was translated muse in the other one, in the other verse. I will muse, or I will meditate in thy precepts. Precepts being what? God's principles, his word, his commandments, his statutes. And have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You know, he spent time. You know, one of the ways we get to know God and one of the ways we get to spend time with God is we spend time in his word. You know, that's how we get to know him. And as we know his word and as it's in our mind, it makes it easier for him to communicate with us. Let's go to verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. The way he dealt with negative situations, he thought about God's word. He thought about the promises of God. He kept them in his mind. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Well, that's great. That's great counsel. That's better than any psychiatrist or what do you call them? Anyway, verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Think about them. He'll think about God's word. 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. You get the feeling that David really was locked into God's word. He thought about it. He kept it there in his heart and his mind. Let's go to 1 Kings. Chapter 19. This is Elijah. There's a couple more in Psalms. I didn't read them, but chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. He had killed 350 prophets of Baal, remember, at Mount Carmel. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as thy life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." She said, "By tomorrow, you're going to be dead, Elijah. I'm going to take care of you quick." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. He left his servant, the guy that, you know, was traveled with him, took care of him. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. I take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." So he gets off by himself and he's done all this stuff. He's faced all these evil guys. He's, you know, now he's threatened by Jezebel, and he just gets off by himself. He says, "Okay, God, I'm done. Take my life. I'm no better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Horeb would be what? The mount where God appeared unto Israel. You know, the fire came down and God said, "Put guards around them. If anybody goes up, they'll die." And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." He said, "You know, I did everything you asked me, God, and I'm the only one left that believes you." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And that's an interesting verse. It can be translated a gentle breeze or a low whisper. Whatever it is, God was giving him peace. You know, he had all that tumult, all that chaos, and then the peace of God. You know, a still small voice, a low whisper. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering into the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go return unto thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shall thou anoint to be a prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So then Elijah passed, he went away and he found Elisha, and so on and so forth. But you see, he got away into the mountain, he spent time with God, God set him straight. And then he did some other great things. You know, he anointed those guys, and then he found Elisha and anointed him to be a prophet also. What a great thing. He prayed to God. Elijah went to God and got away from all the world, and God gave him comfort. In Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth." How about that? Isaiah 26:3 said, what? Perfect. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And then Philippians, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make all your requests known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, when we go to God, we get quiet with God, we get the peace of God. And he prepares us, he strengthens us, he takes care of us. But if we don't take time with him, you know, he's fighting against the current. You know, you need to get quiet. You need to be with God. You need to spend time with him. We all need to spend time with God. It's easy to get caught up in the craziness of life and the busyness of life. But none of us is any busier than Jesus Christ. And he always made time for his Father God. So, amen and amen.